The scripture reading is from the book of Genesis as we continue in our study of the book of Genesis, the second chapter, the first three verses. Listen to God's word. If you want to follow along, it's on page 2. Excuse me. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on the seventh day, on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As we noted during the children's sermon, it is one of the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day. When that is recorded for us in another book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us to keep the Sabbath day. Remember it and keep the Sabbath day. So it is a fundamental commandment. It is fundamental in our relationship with God, as much as not worshiping other gods, not worshiping false idols, not taking God's name in vain, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Not only is it one of the Ten Commandments, but it is a creation ordinance. It didn't come into existence at the time that Moses went up on the mountain and received the tablets of the Ten Commandments. This has been something that God put into the very fabric of creation. And God gave it as a word from the Lord to be observed from the very beginning, and God modeled it to us. After the first 6 days of creation, everything was complete. God pronounced it not only good, but if you read the end of the first chapter of Genesis, he pronounced it very good. And then after all of that being complete, all of it being very good, God set aside time to show us and tell us about rest, the seventh day. One of the interesting things that commentators note is that in all of the other 6 days of creation, there is a formula. There was morning, there was evening, the first day, the second day, the third day. But the seventh day has no end. We sense the beginning of it, that there is a seventh day, but the rest of God is being mirrored here as an eternal rest. And if we read in the book of Hebrews, the writer of the book of Hebrews does talk about this eternal rest, this eternal Sabbath of the Lord, depicting what our life is going to be like in eternity. So we're getting a picture of that right from the very beginning in the very statement of creation. Now, a couple of things that this means for us. One is that the Sabbath declares that God is king. The Sabbath declares that God is king. We have looked at a scheme of the days of creation and noting the first 6 days of creation. We found a relationship between days 1, 2, and 3 with their counterparts in days 4, 5, and 6. We noted that the first 3 days were days in which creature kingdoms, as they're called, or spheres, were created. Light is created. The dome is created on the second day with the waters above and the waters below. The earth is created on the third day with the vegetation. The waters are separated, dry land appears. And then on those corresponding next 3 days, day 1 to day 4, 2 to 5, 3 to 6, those who rule over those spheres are created. So we actually read on day 4, the sun and the moon and the stars were created on the fourth day to rule what was created in the first day, the light. On the fifth day, it is the fish and the birds that are created to have dominion, actually, and to rule in the sphere of the dome, the sky, the waters above, and the waters below. And on the sixth day, to rule the vegetation and the land, it is animals that are created, and the pinnacle of the sixth day is the creation of human beings. Because that statement, as we looked at last week, is human beings are entrusted with the whole thing. So in a way, we might call us human beings, men and women, creature kings. We are the kings that have dominion over all of the other creature kings or rulers over all of the other dominions. That's the statement that the first chapter of Genesis is making. It is, in a way, poetic. It is factual in that God did create the world, but it is making a statement about dominion, that God has given us dominion. We are to care for what God has made. And then there's the seventh day, which is making the ultimate statement that over all of the creature kings of creation and over all of the creature kingdoms of creation, God is the king. Because that seventh day is devoted to God. He hallowed it. He made it holy. And he blessed it. He blessed it and hallowed it. That statement is made both in the first chapter of the book of Genesis and in the statement of the commandment itself in Exodus chapter 20. The reason we are to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy is not only because God rested. God did not need to rest. That's the one difference between God as the king and all of the rest of the creature kings. God did not need to rest. It wasn't that God was tired. Whew, man, those animals gave me a hard time. And human beings, wow, took a lot out of me. No, not at all. God did not need to rest. That's why, in a way, this seventh day is an eternal kind of day. It almost stands within time but outside of time as well. It's God's day. But we need to remember it not only because God rested on the seventh day, but because both in the creation ordinance and in the commandment, God blessed it and hallowed it, made it holy. It is a statement when we keep the Sabbath day, we are making a statement that the first opening days of creation depicted for us in the book of Genesis is also making that God is king. By keeping the Sabbath day, we are declaring the kingship of God, the lordship of Christ, that God has a claim on our lives, and this is a witness to the world. One of the things that separated the people of Israel as a nation, as a theocratic nation, that is, the law of God was the law of the land, is that they observed the Sabbath. There were other things. They were circumcised. They had a particular diet. But one of the things that set them apart from all of the people of the world is that in the regular ebb and flow of life and of the week, they took time built into their lives, built into their living, built into the tasks they had to complete to rest. Because God rested. God blessed it and hallowed, made holy the seventh day. It is a statement that God is in charge. One of the most dramatic statements of that we've seen in movies along the way, and that is the movie Chariots of Fire. I think I would doubt that there's a person here who hasn't seen Chariots of Fire, or if you haven't, especially as kids grow up or are growing up and haven't been exposed to that, that's really one you ought to take down from the older shelf, the cheaper shelf over at Blockbuster, and look at and see. Because in that, as you may remember, it focuses around one of the Olympics. I forget which year it is, but it's early in the 20th century. And it has to do with the British team going over to France. And it has to do primarily with two runners. One of them is Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell was known as the Flying Scot or the Flying Scotsman because he was so fast. He was a sprinter. But he was also a man of God who was a preacher and a missionary, a promoter of missions, and himself went to China as a missionary and indeed was killed at the beginning of World War II as the Japanese took over China. I believe it was then. It was sometime in China, though, that he was killed, either the beginning then or the communist takeover after. But at any rate, when Liddell showed up for the Olympics, and this is his whole life, he's been training for this, to run the 100-meter dash. He found out that the first heat, you know, you have to win a number of heats along the way to get into the gold medal finals, that the first heat was on a Sunday. And that was a dilemma for him. Because Sunday proclaimed the Lordship of God. And Little said that when I run because I feel God's pleasure. That God wants him to run. But how can he feel God's pleasure, Eric said, if he's running on a day that God has commanded rest? And so what made the headlines is he refused to run. He would not run in that 100-meter run. Well, what they were able to work out for him was that he would run in the 200-meter run, twice as long. Remember, he's a sprinter. And if you know the story, you know what happens in a very dramatic way. He wins. God blesses him and honors him because he honored God. Keeping the Sabbath is not just about our getting a little rest and recreation. It is a statement to the world that we are people who believe in the kingship of God. That God is king and ruler over all of the world and over all aspects of life. Well, one of the ways we observe it is rest. It is built into the very fabric of creation. As we told the children this morning, we need rest. We cannot function without rest. Now, for some of us, we can function on, you know, fewer hours of sleep than others. Some need 8 hours, some need 7. Some can get by with 3 or 4, but nobody can get by with none. We need to sleep, and in the rhythm of our lives, we need rest and recreation built in. We're more productive workers if we take time out to rest. If we work 7 days a week, month in and month out, year in and year out, we would be far less, we'd be tired, but we would be far less productive than if we rested in this regular rhythm of life, if we stop doing the work that we do 5 or 6 other days of the week, and we kept the Sabbath as a day that was holy and blessed. It's for us that God gave the Sabbath. It's not only a declaration of God's kingship and lordship, but it is for us. There was a time that Jesus was going with some of his disciples, and it was on the Sabbath. It's recorded in the 2nd chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And they were walking through a field. And as was allowed on any other day, as people walked through fields, it was okay to take some of the grain or corn, I think this was grain field they were going through, and eat it right there. I mean, you couldn't take a, you know, something and hack it down and take it with you. But what you could use and eat right there, you were entitled to under the law, but not on the Sabbath. Because if you did it on the Sabbath, it was like reaping the land. And that was one of the things that was considered work. And so you couldn't do that. But Jesus' disciples did. And so, of course, the scribes and Pharisees, who were always looking for something to pin on Jesus and his disciples, said, "Why are you letting them do that? Don't you know what the law is? That they have to not, they have to obey the Sabbath." Well, Jesus made this statement, among other things. There were other circumstances about healing on the Sabbath and all that. But what I want us to get from this is Jesus said this. The Sabbath was given for humanity, for mankind. Mankind was not made for the Sabbath. And the Son of Man himself is Lord even over the Sabbath. One of the things he's saying is that God made the Sabbath. Gave us the Sabbath because we need it. It's given for us. He didn't create us to keep the Sabbath, but he created the Sabbath because we need to keep it as creatures. The land needs to keep Sabbath. You cannot keep planting the same crop over and over and over again on the land, taking the nutrients out of the land, unless you're either giving it a rest, which is what under the theocracy the Hebrew people did. They had to take a whole year, every 7th year, and not plant. God provided for them in other ways, but they were to give the land a Sabbath rest as well. Now, in modern farming techniques, there are other ways to restore nutrients. Not that I'm an expert on this, but we do have expert farmers in the congregation. I'm no dummy. I talk to them. So it varies from time to time, you know, when you can plant, not depending on the crop and other things. But the land needs the Sabbath. In the commandment and in the creation ordinance, but in the commandment, it wasn't just human beings in the land. It was everybody who was in the household. Even slaves, even servants needed to be given the Sabbath. Even children needed to have a Sabbath. Even people who were visiting us, visiting you, needed to observe the Sabbath. Everybody did. Needed to observe the Sabbath. The animals also. The land and the people. Well, we have kind of entered into a rhythm of rest. Some work 5 days a week, some work six, some even have to work on the seventh. I know I work on the seventh day, and nobody seems to care that much about it. But actually, that's one of the things Jesus said about the scribes and Pharisees. He said, you make your priest work on Sunday, you're breaking the Sabbath. Something to think about. You can read that for yourself. Well, we rest. We have that rhythm, don't we? Saturdays, we cut the lawn and, you know, we do our shopping maybe, or we, you know, we do the kid stuff. And on Sunday, we keep the Sabbath. We sleep in. We read the Sunday paper. We do the New York Times crossword puzzle as a sign of status in the world. We certainly do an important thing. We get ready to watch football on Sunday afternoons. It's coming. The season's here again. And sometimes we go to breakfast. You know, we have our choice of Teddy's, the Blue Rooster, the Cranberry Inn for brunch. And there are some people in this congregation, I know, that are going outside of town on the Sabbath. And they're eating at Perkins. Now, I'm not going to point my finger at anybody. Lil Conley and group. Well, here's the thing. Sometimes Sundays for us are not days of rest. If one or two or all of your children are in travel soccer leagues, it's not a day of rest for you. It's a hectic day of getting there. The activities of children. If it is the only day that you have to do the laundry or to do the shopping or to do whatever you need to do, those days can be anything but restful. In fact, sometimes we're happy that Monday comes and the regular work week we can get back to. There's a principle to note here. A person can have a restful Sunday, but not be keeping the Sabbath. Resting is not the only component of Sabbath keeping. Do you hear that? You can have a restful Sunday, but not be keeping the Sabbath day, the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath is not only a rest, it is to be a holy rest, because God blessed it and hallowed it. It's to be a day in which our lives, we not only cease from doing the things we do every other day, but to us and to the world, we make a statement that God is Lord of our lives, of our time, of our talents, of our treasure, of every part of our lives. And we honor God by the way we use our time. We honor it. Now, I said I was going to quote Jonathan Edwards, and I will. I won't read the whole quote, but what Edwards said was that if God has said he blesses the Sabbath, and if God wants us to take a day when we especially seek him and look for God, Edwards says it only stands to reason that the Sabbath above every other day will be the days that we'll find God. That we will be blessed by God in seeking God on those days. It's an opportunity that comes once a week, every week, when we can especially nurture our relationship with God. Yes, we pray every day. Yes, we read the scripture every day. But God blessed and hallowed the Sabbath. And if we seek God, will not God fulfill that promise of blessing? Well, we don't honor the seventh day anymore. We're not gathered on the seventh day today. We're gathered on the first day of the week. Some of us think Monday's the first day, but really Sunday. Just look at your calendar. It'll tell you. It's that day furthest to the left on your calendar. It is a Sunday. Well, a couple things I want to say about that. In Jesus' day and time, the Jews of his time were strict Sabbatarians. That is, they had to obey very specific laws. Rabbinic teaching had 1,521 things that a person could not do on the Sabbath. 39 activities that were considered work, and so you couldn't do it. Do you know that you could, if you were injured on the Sabbath, it was okay to stop the bleeding, but you couldn't put medicine on it? Because medicine would be healing, which would be work, which is not allowed on the Sabbath. That's how the kind of minutiae that they interpreted the Sabbath laws. There was even an example in the book of Maccabees, the first Maccabees, which are in the intertestament times. We don't, in most of our Bibles, we don't have Maccabees, but in the Catholic Bible and in some other Bibles, this book group of writings that talk about the time from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament, there was an incident with the people of Israel when they were under attack and 1,000 people fled outside of the cities of Jerusalem. And the enemies chased them and attacked them on the Sabbath. And they refused to fight. And 1,000 of them were slaughtered. Because to fight would be to break the Sabbath. Well, the Jewish leaders got together and said, no, we've got to reinterpret this law a little bit. So they said, you could defend yourself on the Sabbath. Well, then when the Romans came, and they were going to lay siege to Jerusalem, they chose the Sabbath day to build their earthworks. Because they weren't attacking. And so the people couldn't fight them. But it allowed the Romans to create and build the structures out of which they would fight and attack and win. Sabbatarianism. It was so important to keep the Sabbath strictly holy that the women who stood at the cross of Jesus Christ and watched him die and wanted to complete his burial didn't even complete the burial on that Good Friday because sundown was coming and the beginning of the Sabbath. But they had to wait until very early when the sixth day was done and the beginning of the seventh day that we read that they went while it was still dark. But nevertheless, by time it was no longer the Sabbath to complete even the burial of Jesus Christ. Well, our day is Sunday. And some of us may come out of a tradition of strict Sabbatarianism. I served a couple of churches along the way where we had services in the morning and Sunday evening. You wore your Sunday go-to-meeting clothes all day. You know, you went to church, you went home and had pot roast, or if the minister was coming, chicken. And you either took a nap or you sat around in your good clothes and kids had to be relatively quiet and all of that. And then you went back to church in the evening. Then there may be fellowship groups for young people before church, and adults and college people would have fellowship groups after church. It was a whole day devoted to that kind of thing. Well, we are no longer in a theocracy, as much as some might want it. The law of God is not the law of our land. We do not stone people to death for committing adultery, neither do we stone them to death for breaking the Sabbath. I don't know if any of us would still be standing if that latter one were in law, and I won't make any comment about the first. We don't. It is not about law. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which took place on the first day of the week, ushers in a new creation, the beginning of God's new creation. That's the day on which Christians gather, as they started in biblical times. In the book of Acts, we have recorded for us that the disciples gathered on the first day of the week because Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. Just as the seventh day was the Sabbath for the first creation, so that the first day is the Sabbath for the new creation. We rest first. The old creation worked 6 days to get to that place of rest. But we begin our week out of a statement of what God has done for us in Christ. And then everything else we do in our lives takes place out of that. We live in the new creation. Well, let's close this up. It's not about rules and regulations. It's not about all the different way we can parse those verbs of keep and observe. But it is still a creation ordinance built into the very fabric of creation, woven into the very fabric of our own being. That will never end until the eternal Sabbath is fully implemented. It is a day that declares that God is King. Jesus is Lord. That God has claim on all of our lives, even our time, let alone our talent and treasure. It is a day that God has made holy. It is a day that God has blessed. Today, right now, this day, is hallowed, and it is blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.